If you're interested in adding to your personal wealth, remember that the next time you pour out tea into your cup, watch the number of bubbles that form, and they'll give you an idea of how wealthy you're going to become. The more bubbles, the more wealth. Then, too, once in a while, everybody gets a little bit dissatisfied with the fact that he's been born a man or born a woman, and he thinks that the other sex has a little better deal in life. So if you really feel that way seriously sometime, just kiss your elbow and you can change your sex. Try it sometime.
Those of us who have seen dances of different kinds move across festival stages very much, have seen common patterns in the dance, common themes in songs, and common sources in origin. The Czechoslovak Beseda has been brought to us by Francis Valento of Masaryk Town. We see on this dance four parts that make up the Beseda. In it is supposed to express the spirit of the Czechs, the Slovaks, the Carpatho-Russian, and the Moravian. This dance was combined and made about 1938 at the International Organization in Prague. The Czechoslovakian dances in the Beseda from Masaryk Town. Jerry Pusica is over here at the accordion. Notice the figures in this dance. We see practically every figure, the American square.
Thank you.
now part three.
Thank you.
The National Folk Festival has been held each year for the last 20 years. And it's got so now that no matter where you have a state festival or a regional festival, National Folk Festival participants sort of gravitate in the direction of each other. We've seen Fred Beaver, whom we met last year in Oklahoma. And as the time goes on tonight and tomorrow, we're going to meet a number of participants from the National Folk Festival. The next is Harold and Marguerite Cole, who are old St. Louisans and participants in the National Folk Festival there. But I met them when I went down to see Jimmy Clausen and his group at Orlando. They've come up from Orla Vista to do Cotton Eye Joe for us. Let's give them a hand and welcome them from Orla Vista.
Folks, this is Mr. and Mrs. Cole from Orlando. Due to the fact that your orchestra could not play a Cotton Eye Joe for us, we're going to have to use the record. We're sorry, but nevertheless.
You know, professors and recreation directors are not only superstitious, but some of them are given to telling tall tales. Thelma Bolton of Gainesville Recreation Department is one of the big tale tellers. She tells the Jack tales. Thelma Bolton of Gainesville, the recreation department there. You know, Thelma is a kind that has ghosts in her family, too. I don't know whether she's going to tell us about them tonight or not.
Well, I'll tell you, I think we'd better leave the ghosts lay tonight, because I'm going to let my book fall open where it may, and I'm going to tell you this tale that's a hand-me-down. Now, some of you'll think that you don't know Jack, but he's as familiar to you as bacon and cornbread and turnip greens and pot liquor. And this Jack tale that I'm going to tell you, I've set down here in my own handwriting. And you'll excuse me if I get mixed up a little bit, or you might think that I'm getting mixed up, but this is the way that it was set down, and this is the way I'm going to tell it. It's about Jack and the bean tree. Now, this tale is about Jack when he was a teensy-weensy boy. He was a sort of a puny young'un then, and he was a-crying one day when his mother was a-sweeping the house. She didn't pay much mind. She just went right on a-sweeping the floor. And happened, she swept up a right good-sized bean. So she picked it up and gave it to Jack to hush him and to get him out of the way. "Here, run plant this bean," she says. "It'll make you a bean tree." So Jack run out and planted it. He didn't cry anymore that day. Well, the next morning he went out to real early to see how his bean tree was getting along. And he come running in and he told his mother, "That bean tree's plumb through the ground and it's done growed up knee high." "Why, Jack," says his mother, "why, you little lying puppy," and she slapped him. Well, Jack, he cried, but when his mother got the house cleaned up, she looked out and saw it was like Jack said, and she felt sorry, so she gave him some bread and some butter and some brown sugar, and he hushed. So the next morning, Jack come and told his mother that bean tree's done as high as a sure enough tree. Now, Jack, you know you oughtn't to lie like that. And she slapped him again. She slapped him pretty keen. But when she happened to look out and see it, she come and she give Jack some ripe peaches and some cream and petted him till he hushed. The next morning, Jack come a-running again. "Mother, my bean tree's done growed plumb out of sight. You can't see the top." "Now, look a-here, Jack. You know that ain't so. You surely must have lied this time." And she slapped his jaws real hard. But she looked out directly, and she saw it. So she went and got Jack and give him a big slice of cake and some sweet milk. Well, nobody said nothing about the bean tree for several days till Jack come and said to his mother, "I'm a-going to climb up that bean tree of mine and see what's at the very tip-top of it." Well, his mother told him he oughtn't to do that, but seems like he got his head so set on it, she couldn't do nothing with it. Jack said he'd just pull her off a mess of beans on the way up and throw 'em down to her. And so she fixed him up a little snack, and he pulled right on out and up that bean tree. And he kept on a-going, up and up. He clumb all day till it was late in the evening before he got to the top. Then just about dark, Jack come to a big pipe road up there. He went along a little piece, and he come to a great big house. And he went up to the door, and he knocked on it. A very large woman come, and she opened it, and she looked down, and she said, "Law, stranger, what are you doing up here?" "Why," says Jack, "why, I wanted to come. This here's my bean tree, so I clumb up here to see what was up here." "Well, you better get on down. My old man's a giant. He'll kill you. He eats all the English men he finds." "It's a-getting late," says Jack, "and I can't get back very handy now. I don't know what I'll do." "Well, come on in then, and I'll hide you tonight. But you better leave early in the morning." So Jack went on in the house, and the giant woman took him and put him in the bake oven. Set the lid over it. The old giant come in.
He looked around, and he says, "Hey, oh, bum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive and be he dead, I must have some." And the old lady, she said, "No, you don't smell no English, Mum. Maybe it was that fresh mutton I've done cooked for you tonight." The old giant, he looked around some more. He didn't see nothing. Finally, he ate his supper and he went to bed. When Jack heard the giant a-snoring, he come out of the bake oven and he looked around the house. Saw a rifle gun a-hanging over the fireboard, so he took that and went on back down the bean tree. Well, Jack played around with the rifle gun for a few days till he began to get sort of tired of it, and he decided he'd go back up and see what else he could find. So he climbed up the bean tree again. The old lady was a-standing on the step. She says, "Why, you little scamp, you back here again. My old man'll kill you sure as the world. He saw his rifle gun was gone. You better not try to come in here tonight." "Well," says Jack, "now you hide me this time, and it may be I'll not come back to bother you no more." So she took him, and she hid him under the bread bowl. The old giant, he come in and he sniffed around and he snuffed around and he says, "Fee-paw-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I want some." "Well, you must be mistaken," says his old lady. "Must be that mutton you killed the other day. That's what you smell." The old giant, he started looking around. She says to him, "You can look if you want to. You'll not find none." And finally, they ate their supper and went to bed. When both of them was fast asleep, Jack come out and he looked around. And he seen a nice skinning knife. He decided he'd take that, so he took it and he slipped on down the bean tree. His mother said that it looked to her like it was stealing. But Jack said he figured the bean tree was his'n and everything on it belonged to him. So he played around with that knife, that skinning knife, a day or two, and, well, maybe a little longer than a day or two. Then he told his mother he was going up that bean tree one last time. Said it'd be his last trip for sure. Said there was just one thing more he wanted up there. So now Jack took his hand axe and he cut the old bean tree halfway through. Left the axe a-laying by the tree. Then he clumb up to the giant's house once more. The old woman, she opened the door and she says, "Well, buddy, what in the world are you doing up here again? My old man missed that skinning knife, and he'll sure kill you if he finds you." "You better not speak too sharp," says Jack. "This here bean tree belongs to me, and I reckon you'll just have to hide me again somewhere." "Well," says she, "it don't differ. Next time you come back, I'm just gonna tell him and let him kill you and eat you. I'll not hide you now, neither, unless you promise me never to come back again." "I'll not promise," says Jack. "But if you'll hide me, it'll be an accommodation." Well, she took Jack, and she set him in a corner and turned the old giant's hat over him. And the old giant come in. "A fee-paw-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he dead or be he alive, I'll grind his bones to eat with my bones. Well, now, look, says the old lady. If you find him, you can sure kill him. So the old giant, he looked around, and he smelled around, and he looked everywhere in that house trying to find Jack. Looked in the bake oven. Looked under all the bowls. Sure seems like I smell one strong, says he. But he never did look under his hat. And pretty soon, they ate their supper and went to bed. When Jack heard the old giant a-snoring, he come out from under the hat. Now, there was a coverlid on the old giant's bed, and it had little bells sewed all over it, about an inch apart. And that was what Jack wanted so bad. But he knowed it would rattle and wake the old giant up. So Jack, he went and fixed all the chairs up to the bed, right up close. And then he took the giant's boots and he hit 'em. And then Jack crop up and he raised one corner of that rug. And the bells went ding! And the giant woke up and sat up quick and hollered, "Scat there!" Jack kept right on till the old giant laid down again and set in to snoring. Then he went and he eased the door open, and he got back and he got a good hold on that coverlid, and he jerked it off and made for the door as hard as he could. Well, them bells went ding, 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 and the old giant jumped up, started busting around all them chairs, a-hollering, "Where's my boots? Where's my boots?" And Jack went just a-sailing toward that beam tree. And the old giant kept knocking over chairs. And he says, "Where's my boots, old woman? Where's my boots?" And the old woman says to him, "They're right there where you left them, I reckon." Well, he had to get a light lit before he could find them. Finally, he got them on and he let out after Jack. Jack was a-scooting down that bean tree so fast you'd have thought he was a-falling. He got down to the ground, he laid that coverlid to one side, he grabbed up his hand axe and he chopped two or three licks. And the bean tree fell down, 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 clean across the fields and the hills and the hollers. And it took about an hour for it to fall all the way. And after the bean tree hit the ground, Jack went along it to see how far the old giant had got. Found him about a half a mile off, and he didn't have but one boot on. Then Jack, that ain't quite all. Then Jack went on across the country to where the giant's house fell. And you know, the dishes was broke up pretty bad. But him and his mother got a lot of good house plunder. And all that wasn't mashed up, all that wasn't mashed up, that is, when the house landed. And the last time I was down there, Jack was a-getting to be a right big boy. And he was doing real well.
A festival, of course, wouldn't be complete without the fiddle tunes. The Bell School FFA String Band of Bell, Florida, has brought us some unusual musical instruments, the Bell Band. Are you going to see? What's that peculiar-looking musical instrument back there? I think you're hiding it. The lumberjacks call that the bangola. What do you call it?
Poor man bass fiddle.
The what?
Poor man bass fiddle.
Poor man bass fiddle. Well, that's just good. We have banjo pickers and all kind of musicians here. Let's see how that poor man's bass fiddle sounds.
Oh, For our first number, we'd like to do the Spanish two-step.
Are we going to play Old Joe Clark? What's the next?
John Henry with a banjo lead. Next number will be Under the Double Eagle.
you like that poor man's bass fiddle? It's pretty good, isn't it? And now we're going to have the privilege of hearing some very unusual spirituals by the Charlie Pate family. The Pate family are workers in the Anderson Forest. We had them last year singing the songs that they use in the forest. They've come back to this night to sing for us again. They don't have on the work clothes, though, today. They're all dressed up, Charlie. Now, what are we going to sing tonight? Many of the spirituals down in this part of Florida, or this part of the country, are very unusual. These that Charlie is going to sing now, I haven't heard before. In fact, most of them that they know in my part of Kentucky or in Missouri, we don't know. Which will this be, Charlie?
When I lost my mother.
When I lost my mother.
When I lost my mother.
There's something by the Lord, his mighty sweet child. Yes, it is. Lord, something by my dear and mighty sweet child. Oh Lord, sometimes get trouble in mind. Didn't want no mother ever had me cry. She told me it was something. Yes, it is, mighty sweet child. Oh, Lord, Lord, when I, let me tell you when I, lost my mother, lost the best friend. Everybody know my heart, child. Do you believe my heart? Burning down in sorrow. Yes, it was. And my soul. Good God Almighty. Feeling kind of bad. Yes, it was. That's the time. Do you believe I took it on the finger? Oh, yes, it did. Oh, Lord. Feel so glad. Told me something. Yeah, yes, about my Jesus. Yes, it is, mighty sweet child. Hallelujah.
Our next number will be I Got Heaven on My Mind.
Lord, I'm singing I
got heaven on my mind.
Got heaven on my mind.
Just keep singing all the time.
you can always have everything. Even I have it on my.
Another guest that we have who came in a way a surprise to us today, is a valued participant of the National Folk Festival. Mae Kennedy Kane of Chicago, Illinois, flew over to do some of the Irish dances for us. Let's see, where is Mae and where are our dances? Here she comes. Let's give them a welcome hand to Florida.
The Irish reel.
The Irish reel, good.
To have a jig. All right, I'll play it for Maureen.
And now we're going to have a great big song by a little bitty girl. One of our new ballad singers, Elizabeth Field, will sing the old story of Lord Lovell.
All right,
student. Oh, Mildred Shiler. I just got called down about that.
Lord Lovell was standing at his castle, yea, a-combing his milk-white steed, when up stepped Lady Nancy Bell, a-wishing her lover good speed, 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 a-wishing her lover good speed. Oh, where are you going, Lord Lovell? She said. Where are you going? Said she. I'm going, my love, Lord Lovell replied. New countries for to see, see, see. New countries for to see. Lord Lovell was gone just a year and a day. New countries for to see. When languishing thoughts came over his mind, Lady Nancy he must go see, see, see. Lady Nancy, he must go see. He mounted upon his milk-white steed and rode to fair London town. And there he heard St. Patrick bells, and the people came mourning around, round, round. And the people came mourning around. Oh, who hath died, Lord Lovell? She said. Who hath died? Said he. A lady hath died, a woman replied. And they called her Lady Nancy, see, see. And they called her Lady Nancy. He ordered her grave to be opened wide, her straps to be bolted down. And there he kissed her pale white cheeks, till the tears came trickling down, down, down. Till the tears came trickling down. Lady Nancy, she died on a Good Friday. Lord Lovell, he died on the morrow. Lady Nancy, she died of pure true love. Lord Lovell, he died of sorrow.
We've had some favorites here this week. The Negro Singing Games, something that's peculiarly distinctive of this part of Florida from the Carver School. They're going to do one singing game.
Oh, yeah.
And now Annie Tomlin, who knows Brer Rabbit and Fox and all the other animals out here, is going to tell us one of the short tales. Annie Tomlin.
Miss Knight wants me to tell Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and the top of it tonight. I was going to tell the ghost story, but I'm going to tell Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox and the top of it for Miss Knott. Once Sally of Dino Woods, a fox.